the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Holding that wonderful gospel reading in mind, I wonder what you think of when you hear of the moment when the angel Gabriel asked the Virgin Mary to be the bearer of God's Son. What image springs to your mind? Do you imagine, for example, a great shining flaming angel, wings bent and beating, hovering several feet off the ground? Do you imagine a blue-robed Mary, pure of face, acquiescing in the presence of the Almighty's messenger? Do we think perhaps of Fra Angelico's famous Annunciation, a serene study in perspective with a docile angel and a perfectly clad Mary? Whatever we imagine, this monumental moment when earth and heaven meet occurs in the most unlikely of all places, the womb of an unwed teenage girl. If you take a look at the front cover of your order of service today, you will see the Annunciation as imagined by the contemporary American Roman Catholic painter John Collier. And he imagines this staggering event occurring not within the confines of a 16th century portico, nor the more historically accurate Palestinian locale, but rather on the doorstep of a contemporary suburban home, much like yours or mine. Mary is portrayed as a young woman in her mid to late teens, wearing a knee-length blue dress over a white t-shirt. Her bare arms end in finely painted hands that hold a red book, a book that upon closer inspection is the book of the prophet Isaiah. Mary wears short white socks and sneakers, one of which has a shoelace slightly undone. Gabriel, the mighty messenger of God, stands opposite her and reverences her by bowing ever so slightly, his hands clasped together just so, and his head bent just so that it is slightly lower than Mary's in reverence to her. Gabriel's wings remain folded behind him, and his alb-like robe is mottled and in places worn, which I presume can only be caused by the rough day-to-day work of being an angel. And between the two figures resting on a brick step is a white lily, its flowers in full and in partial bloom, that famous symbol of purity, so intrinsic to classical representations of the Virgin Mary. And if you look closely, in the background of the painting is an ordinary home set on a green lawn with a red roof. This is in the colour version, of course, and an awning on the front window. On a nearby roof gutter sits a dove, a reference to the Holy Spirit. And the painting, which is in a diocesan, a parish church in Texas, is a quiet, gentle, respectful encounter between two creatures, both servants of the Most High God, one of heaven and one of earth, and the latter, Mary, destined to be of both. Collier's depiction of the Annunciation occurring within our century, in our context, maybe even in our town, or even happily, literally, on our front door, locates this profound occasion within, I think, a more easily imagined context than that of either Angelico's Florentine convent, or indeed St. Luke's world of 2,000 years ago. While the context may be more easily imagined, more familiar, the extraordinary nature of the Annunciation to Mary is not diminished. In fact, I think it is highlighted. For there is nothing more extraordinary in the relationship between God and humanity, between heaven and earth, than the inbreaking of God's kingdom into this world, than with a teenage girl's great yes to God, a young woman who would have had no voice whatsoever in the community in which she lived, speaks her voice of assent to the Most High God. When we imagine this Mary, this God-bringer, this Theotokos, this God-bearer, as a teenage girl of our own time, perhaps just home from school, Chadston, McDonald's, tennis practice maybe, we glimpse again the manner in which God chooses the most simple and the most unusual and the most basic elements of life to bring forth not only God's revelation, but also our very salvation. Like the presence of Christ with us in the elements of bread and wine, those simplest of human foods, so too God chooses the familiar, the ordinary, the totally human to bring about God's greatest and most intimate revelation to humanity, the birth of Jesus. I find this important to remember, because it seems to me that it is very tempting to believe that God must reveal God's self to us in the voice from heaven, the flash of lightning, the mountaintop experience, the quaking of the ground. Equally, we might be tempted into thinking that God only reveals God's self to the mighty and the extraordinary and the talented, the good-looking, the popular, the zealously religious, the theologian, the true believer, or worst of all, the clergy. The Annunciation reminds us that this is not true. God, in fact, reveals God's self most often to the ordinary, the plain, the simple, the normal, in other words, us. We share with Mary a simplicity, an obscurity even, that might lead us to believe that God does not or cannot act within us, just as Mary, I presume, thought about herself and her station in life. How then are we to live each day in this knowledge, that in fact in us, in me, in you, God wishes to dwell, to bring forth part of God's kingdom from our very selves, just as Christ was brought forth from that virgin's womb? I believe that we are to do so by again following Mary's example and choosing to say that same great yes to God. More precisely and more importantly, we need to fold into ourselves and our spirituality and our relationship with God perhaps Mary's most famous phrase, "Be it unto me according to your word." And let me give you a very personal example. For years, as a young man in my late teens and early 20s, I wrestled with a vocation to the priesthood. I didn't want to be a priest. I didn't like the idea of being a priest. And I thought that what I wished for myself was the path upon which I should walk always. And this mirrored my haphazard prayer life, which was full, I realized, of prayers that went something like this. I pray, Lord, that you give me a sign of the path that I should take. I pray, Lord, that you will reveal to me the manner in which I should live my life. I pray, Lord, that you will give me grace to be a good doctor, lawyer, fireman, teacher, bus driver, orthodontist, yoga lattes instructor, whatever. And then one morning, and this sounds very pious, so forgive me, I was at church, and the reading set for the day was Luke 1:26-38, which we heard this morning. And I heard again, but for the first time, those words of Mary, "Be it unto me according to your word." And it dawned on me that in praying for what I thought was the direction I should take, or what I thought I should do, or what I thought should or should not happen in my life. I was placing myself in the middle of the equation rather than God at the middle of the equation. And that reply of Mary's rang in my ears. Be it unto me according to thy word, to use the old translation. Not be it unto me according to my word, be it unto me according to thy word. And for me, Mary's words became the prayer that formed my life and my vocation as a priest. At moments of great discernment then, and indeed now, my prayer, still haphazard, tries to grasp and voice that yes to God, that willingness to have God's word and will be the dynamic force in my life. And if that sounds vaguely at all familiar, like a familiar phrase, it is because it is from Mary, and also from Mary's son, who taught us to pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." The old translation, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." As we consider then Mary's great response to God in the words of the Annunciation found in Luke 1, I encourage you to fold into yourself and your prayer life Mary's yes to God. And that phrase, "Be it unto me according to thy word." Not because I made it part of mine, but because it is part, I think, of an openness and a willingness to God that will, I am convinced, draw us closer to God, to Mary, and to that which God would do and be in your life. The contemporary poet Leslie Bustard's words came to mind whilst writing this sermon, and let me share her poem, which is a reflection upon the Annunciation. It's called "To Make Visible." She wrote it in 2020. "To make visible glory, for a moment see the mystery of eternity in our ordinary. To long for the light and to let it sweep through shadowed windows, waiting hearts. To listen, to say yes, let it be as you say it will be. To wait till the word breaks in, revealing grace upon grace upon grace." A word of caution, however. Mary's great yes to God and her willingness to have God's word supplant her own led her on an unimaginable path. A path in which she would not only witness the birth of God's Son before her very eyes, but the death of God's Son before her very eyes. The Holy One that she swaddled in cloth in the manger, she saw swathed in cloth for burial. For in opening ourselves to God and praying, "Be it unto me according to thy word," or "your word," we open ourselves to a glimpse of the full glory of God. Not just the bits we like, nor the paths down which we would like to tread, but all the glory and all the paths and all the ways of God. And this way and these paths will also take us to places that we might not wish to go, and be disciples in ways that will cost, and that will humble, that may even defeat us for a time. And at the same time, unimaginable joy awaits. For this is the path and the way of the Holy One, who at Easter enters the Jerusalem of his triumph and his death, who will walk to his cross both Saviour and victim, and to his tomb then dead, and soon to be the Prince of Life. To him be the glory now and forever. Amen.